The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Dr. Marcus Webb about naturopathy and men's health. This week in the news, I have a call to all skiers, and I want you to wear helmets. It's as simple as that. Turns out there's a brand new study that just came out, and to no one's surprise, yes, helmets do reduce the risk of head injuries, and yes, they do save lives. This study was published in the November issue of the Journal of Trauma and Acute Care Surgery. It turns out that some people, not necessarily you, but I'm just saying, some skiers and snowboarders would argue that wearing a helmet reduces their ability to ski or hear what's going on around them. I get that, and may even encourage risky behavior. Others suggest that wearing a helmet increases the risk of neck and spinal injury. Not to be told, says the director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Surgical Trials and Outcomes Research. He says these are just all excuses. Besides reducing the odds of sustaining a head injury, helmets also reduce their severity and their number. Each year in the United States, we're looking at 600,000 skiing and snowboarding injuries. Up to 20% of those are head injuries, and 22% of those head injuries are bad enough to cause loss of consciousness, concussion, or something more serious. At least the Eastern Association for the Surgery of Trauma recommends that all skiers and all snowboarders wear helmets. And I concur. Enjoy those slopes, but be safe and sound. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dr. Marcus Webb is a very talented professional, a registered naturopath and osteopath with clinics in London and Scotland. You're in for a real treat tonight. He's also a very popular radio host on a very popular alternative health call-in BBC radio show. So we've got at least one thing in common. Dr. Webb is also a chartered biologist and a fellow of the Royal Society of Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Webb, to Your Holistic Health.
That's lovely. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm going to ask you kind of a loaded question right out of the gate here. Do you really believe in treating the whole person?
I've got to say yes, because over the years I've definitely found it's the only way to go. In my work, I think treating the whole person really is at the core of what makes our clinic a success. Modern medicine is fabulous. I do love a bit of hard science myself, but sometimes science can be a bit clinical, and it can detach the person from the condition. And the person and the condition that they come and present with is one problem, and you need to treat the whole person to really get to the root cause. I know tonight we're going to chat about a few specific health complaints, but when we do, in my work, we always have to look at the whole person, their lifestyle, their condition that presents, their past medical history, and also we have to keep in mind, we've got to keep in mind the brain, the mind. There's an awful lot of very powerful research now just showing how powerful the mind is in involving the physical body. And detaching the mind and the thoughts and the emotions from the presenting health problem, I think, is one of the large failings in modern medicine. But hopefully, you know, with naturopathic approaches, we can kind of heal that gap.
All right. Now, I'm so pleased that we're an equal opportunity show. And gentlemen, now's your turn to shine. Just for you tonight, we have an expert in the field of men's health and naturopathic recommendations for certain conditions. So let's begin by perhaps talking about maybe one or two very common reasons why men who typically don't think that they need to see the doctor are trusting enough to come and see you.
Well, men are difficult creatures. I can say that because I am one. We don't like talking about our health because it will go away, won't it? Health problems just don't happen to us. So quite often, men are brought in with their other half, their better half, and their good lady wife or their partner will come in and say, look, I've been nagging at him for ages. He needs to talk to you about problem X, Y, and Z. Normally, that is a long-term health problem. It's unusual men coming in to see me with short-term health issues. So really, we're looking classically at high blood pressure. That's one of the major things men come in to see me about. And later on, a little bit of benign hypertrophy, a bit of prostate swelling. Blood pressure, I think, probably is one of the top ones that the guys come in about, because they may have had a diagnosis of high blood pressure from their family doctor. And once they've looked at the medications and read about some of the side effects, they tend not to want to go on the medication because blood pressure, of course, doesn't hurt you. And unfortunately, it's called the silent killer for a reason. It doesn't hurt you, but if blood pressure is left unchecked, it can give you big medical problems, strokes and heart attacks. But because blood pressure doesn't necessarily give you physical symptoms, many men kind of put their head in the sand and ignore it and maybe just refuse to take the medication from their family doctor. And eventually, their nagging spouse, through all goodwill, gets them to come to see someone like myself to say, look, if you're not going to take the conventional drugs, at least go and see this guy and see what you can do lifestyle-wise and naturally. And maybe if that helps, great. If not, maybe you've got to think about the medication. So when we really come to treat things like high blood pressure, we need to make the patient assured that, you know, our approaches can be successful, but in some cases, if they're not, you know, you really do need to look at the pharmaceuticals as well. But initially, I tend to hit them with a very, very simple 10-point plan. 10 points sound an awful lot, but honestly, there's not a lot to it really, and it can be very effective. The first thing I get them to do is to start exercising. Simply going out for what can be called a power walk, just getting the heart rate raised a little bit for a good 25-30 minute walk around the block. Raising the heart rate and a regular bout of exercise can drop the blood pressure significantly. In the systolic value, that's the when your doctor gives you a blood pressure of say 120/80, the top value is called the systolic value. That represents the squeezing power of the heart, and the bottom value represents how much elasticity there is in the arteries. That's called the diastolic value. Now, a good regular power walk has been shown to drop the systolic value by about 8 mils of mercury and the diastolic value by 6 mils of mercury. So simply getting up and getting out there and getting the heart moving can take a little bit off of the blood pressure straight away. The next thing we get them to do is to look at that relaxation technique. A lot of blood pressure is generated by internal anxiety and internal stress, part of our natural flight and flight mechanism. When you're stressed out, your blood pressure goes up. One of the quickest and easiest ways of bringing your fight and flight mechanisms back into check is to develop an effective breathing exercise. Now, these can be done through techniques like yoga, tai chi, or qigong, or you can do a very, very simple home exercise, which I call the 4-7-8 breathing exercise. And this is something that Dr. Andrew Beale actually promotes quite a lot on the internet and in his books. It's a very, very effective technique. You're simply exhaling through your mouth until you've really emptied your lungs. Then over a count of four, slowly inhale through your nose. Hold that breath for a count of seven and slowly exhale through your mouth over a count of eight. And that simple rhythmic breathing in, holding of the breath and breathing out, repeated four or five times, a couple of times a day, has an extremely good effect as a natural tranquilizer for the central nervous system. It activates the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the arm of our nervous system that relaxes our body, and it gives a stretch to the diaphragm, which again has a reflex action on helping to slow the heart rate. So even something as simple as the 4-7-8 breathing exercise can start to relax the person and bring their blood pressure down at the same time. Looking towards the diet, one of the key things we've got to do is to cut our salt intake. Now, the DASH diet has been around for a long time, and that's a fantastically well-researched tool, and it's quite an in-depth diet, but once you've read through the literature, it's not too hard to implement. So the DASH diet you can download from the internet free of charge, and it looks to aim at dropping the salt intake significantly. We're looking to get people to roughly get their target sodium intake to about 1.5 grams or less a day. Now, keeping in mind half a teaspoon of salt contains about 1.2 grams of salt, of sodium rather, you can see that half a teaspoon of salt doesn't go a long way when you're cooking, and we're looking to get your target daily intake at about 1.5 grams. So you've got to go some, but it's really worth cutting the salt out. Reducing the salt in the diet can significantly drop the blood volume and take an awful lot of strain off the cardiovascular system. So dig out the DASH diet from the internet, implement it as hard as you can, and really cut the salt out. Big differences there. Boosting up your potassium intake from good old fresh fruits and vegetables. Potassium is a very important mineral. The more potassium you can get into your system, the more sodium you can excrete from your system. So it's a kind of inverse relationship there. Many, many years ago, our potassium levels were much, much higher than they are now. About a 3-to-1 ratio it used to be in favor of potassium. Modern food processing tends to now shunt it the wrong way. So we're now consuming so much sodium compared to potassium. But simply boosting your fruit and veg intake will push up your potassium levels quickly, easily, and safely. And we're looking to get about, say, 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams of potassium a day in from the diet. Look at foods like potatoes, bananas, kidney beans, cantaloupe, melons, dried fruits, prunes, and raisins. All these really, really push up your potassium levels safely and conveniently. If you're looking down the health food store alleys, check out some supplements. Coenzyme Q10, a safe supplement to use. 100 milligrams taken once or twice a day can reduce your systolic blood pressure by 17 mils of mercury and your diastolic by about 10 mils. So you can get quite a significant dropping of blood pressure simply using CoQ10. It is a very, very safe nutrient. There's a couple of interactions have been suggested in people using warfarin, so I'll check with your doctor on that one if you are on blood thinners. Otherwise, Q10 can be taken safely by everybody. You can get potassium magnesium-based supplements as well if you're finding it hard to push up your fruit and veg intake, but I would suggest trying to do it through the diet. There can also be an effective relief of carrying too much fluid by using celery seed extract. This is an over-the-counter preparation, usually comes in capsule form, and if you can get one that contains a good 85% of the active agent, which is called butylphthalidide, or 3BN for short, this is the stuff that really gives celery seed extract its power. It's the chemical compound that gives the characteristic smell to celery, but once inside your body, it really helps stimulate urine flow and can help reduce your blood volume by having a natural diuretic effect. So seek out a good celery seed extract. Normally, 75 milligram dose taken twice a day is adequate, and that can really help get your blood pressure down a bit. If you're looking to a slightly more specific supplement, one I use an awful lot in the clinic is a thing called a peptase, which is bonito fish extract. This is a unique little chain of polypeptides or proteins that derive from this fish. Once inside the body, it has an action rather like ACE inhibitors that are given pharmaceutically. ACE is an enzyme, angiotensin-converting enzyme. By using bonito fish extracts, you can actually have an inhibitory effect on the activity of their enzyme, which in turn has a relaxing effect on blood vessels. If you inhibit the enzyme ACE, you slow down or inhibit the conversion of angiotensin 1 through to angiotensin 2. And that chemical reaction has the effect of changing your blood vessel diameter. If you inhibit it, you relax the blood vessels, they dilate up, and your blood pressure can drop significantly. Unfortunately, ACE inhibitor drugs can have a host of side effects, which luckily your Bonita fish extract doesn't. So it is another safe one to use, but again, something I wouldn't suggest combining with the prescribed medication unless you talk to your doctor. When it comes to looking to alcohol, a light drinking habit isn't a problem. When I talk light, I'm saying half a glass of wine. So we're talking a small amount of alcohol on a regular basis has been shown in quite a number of studies to help ease blood pressure. But I am stressing here we're talking half a glass of wine, not half a bottle of wine. So think about that. If you do enjoy a drink, cut it down a bit, look to moderate to low intakes, and it can be beneficial to your health. Another nice thing to do is dark chocolate. Quite a bit of research came out a couple of years ago on flavonoid contents in high cocoa solid chocolate. And it, true enough, if you seek about 70% cocoa solid chocolate and take one or two squares a day, that again can have a dramatic effect on the elasticity of the artery walls and can drop your blood pressure. So that's quite a nice thing to do. If you enjoy a cup of coffee, my suggestion here is swap over your decaf. Decaf obviously has no caffeine, but the problem with caffeine, if you do enjoy your coffee, is it will push your blood pressure up. Taking, say, 3 8-ounce cups of coffee a day can push your blood pressure up by a good 4 or 5 mils of mercury. So cutting that out, again, can only go on the right side of the equation here. And the last couple of points, straightforward stuff. If you become a bit of a workaholic, think twice about it. You've really got to be throttled back if you're putting in more than 40, 45 hours a week in your work. Think about taking some time off. A University of California study, which involved a good 24,000 people, showed that those people who were putting in over 40 to 45 hours a week had, on average, a 14% higher blood pressure than those who didn't. So maybe try and think about taking a little extra time out there. And the last thing you can do here is relax and listen to some good music. This might seem like very kind of limp advice, but an Italian study out of the University of Florence clearly shows that 30 minutes relaxing, doing your breathing exercises, listening to calming, soothing music can drop your blood pressure by a good 3 to 4 points. So there we have 10 very straightforward things you can do. None of these are difficult, and apart from the supplements, it's not going to cost you much at all, and it can make an enormous difference to your blood pressure.
Well, I've been taking some good notes, and I'll tell you, I've gotten a number 11. It's listening to your voice. And while I'm pondering that, and are you as well, we're going to take a break. This is Your Holistic Health. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, your host tonight. We're talking with Dr. Marcus Webb of Hadley Wood Healthcare in the UK, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. Tonight, our dear guest is Dr. Marcus Webb from the UK, and our topic, very appropriately, is naturopathy and men's health for a change. Well, Dr. Webb, before the break, you began to talk about dialing back for those workaholic CEOs, type A personalities, the gentlemen who seem to work endless hours. You mentioned 40. I'm going to say I know several individuals that work 80 hours plus a week, and yet I think they don't even realize what they've done to their bodies until perhaps, unfortunately, it is too late. They're worried about return on investment, and they need to be worried about their mind, bodies, and spirits. Kind of hard to do in today's industrial workforce. But I'm going to turn to scripture and take a bit of a different twist before I ask your next question. And I want us to just reflect for a moment on Matthew 6:33. Instead of ROI, let's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. What a different perspective that would be, and yet, boy, there's a work in progress, I'm sure. I want to hear just a little bit about that CEO that you nurture into throttling back, as you said before. Do they really listen? Do they really get it?
Oh, there's a good question. It's very, very tough. I think, as you say, this phase in our history, it's probably been more stressful than ever for people in business and in industry. And of course, those of us who grew up maybe in the 70s and 80s have been indoctrinated with a kind of work ethic that, you know, tells you to knuckle down and get going and put the hours in. But as you say, sometimes we have to kind of reflect, and you hope in a way that this doesn't happen too late in someone's lifetime. When people present and they are giving me the physical symptoms, and I kind of get a whiff that there's more to it than just the physical, and these guys are workaholics, and maybe, as you say, you know, they're piling in the hours because they have to, I tend to put my neck on the line and say, look, you know, your physical symptoms are one thing, but we need to look at your lifestyle here. We need to look at where you're going, because I can't see you keeping up this pace, you know, for the next few years without some health crisis taking you out of the loop big time. So occasionally you've got to be strong with people and actually lay it on the line and say, unless you make changes, then the changes are going to force an issue here. So again, I kind of work through them and talk to them about, have you looked at your long-term goals? Quite often in business, people get their heads down and they keep going, and what started off as the way we're doing our business maybe 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years down the line, you're still trudging down the same pathways, finding it harder and harder to make ends meet and getting more and more stressed. And the answer is, put more hours in. But sometimes that isn't the answer. Now, I'm no life coach. I'm no business guru. But I do tell people, maybe look at your long-term goals here. Have a look at what you set out to achieve in business and where you are now, and maybe think where you're going to be in 4 or 5 years' time. You do need to look at your aspirations. You do need to maybe objectively look at how is this affecting you, your life, your family, and your home life, because this really is what we're all working for. We're all working to look after our families. We're looking forward to time we can spend with our loved ones. And if work is taken that away, you're going to get very stressed about it. So sometimes reviewing your life goals are very, very important. Next thing is, take a look at what you're doing. You're bringing work home every day. Are you sitting in front of the telly with your laptop up, or are you taking yourself off to your office at home? Again, are you cutting yourself off from your family? Are you now making your home place a workplace? In theory, when the working day finishes, theoretically, you should be done. You should go home, and that's home time. In reality, of course, that doesn't always happen. But I think if you do take work home, you have to say to yourself, I will give myself X hours or time at home for work, and then I'm closing up shop, and that's me done. Otherwise, it'll just eat into your entire home life. So set some barriers if you do bring work home. The other thing to do is, down the line, we all do it, we tend to neglect old friendships. And maybe it takes you many years into a business career to realize that you haven't spoken to an old college friend for years. What's happened? Our paths have diverged. Sometimes hooking up with an old friend actually rekindles memories of your past, memories of your youth, and brings you back in touch with who you are and what your aims and goals are. So sometimes it's worth picking up the phone, phoning up an old friend, and rekindling an old relationship. The other thing to consider is, get a life, get a hobby. You know, it doesn't have to be anything massive, but try and get yourself up and out on the weekends so you're not at home sitting with your feet up watching the telly. You may be getting up and getting out with the kids, maybe take another sport. But take up a hobby that's something different to your everyday life, and if you can involve your family, even better. Keep up with social commitments. Very, very common for workaholics. Things enter the diary, parties, events, get-togethers, and you'll find some way of getting out of it because you're just too busy. Make it a priority, just like a business appointment. Put it in your diary, schedule it in, and keep your social commitments. Very, very important. Otherwise, one day, you just won't be asked anywhere at all. So keep your social commitments going. Start yourself off every morning, have a good breakfast. Make sure every night you get your head down and you try and get some decent sleep. missing breakfast, skipping hours of sleep, ticket for disaster. Eating well in the morning sets you up for the day. Getting a decent night's sleep sets you up for the next morning. So there's a big relation between the two. So get your breakfast in and try and get your head down at night and get some quality sleep. During the day, make sure you do take breaks. If you've got a scheduled time where you have a lunch hour or a lunch half hour, take it. Get up, get away from your desk, go and get a walk, get a cup of tea, get a decent lunch. Take time out from the office. Don't just sit at your desk and turn lunch into an extended working day. The other thing also is, especially for the entrepreneurs out there, is try not to make yourself indispensable. Many people who started businesses become one-man bands, and eventually their business gets a little bigger, they get in some staff. But of course, these entrepreneurs and these workaholics tend to think they're indispensable. They're not. You need to understand that you are dispensable, and make yourself dispensable. Get in people who can work with you, who can take on certain tasks, you can delegate certain tasks away. And eventually, sort of tailor your work down to the decision-making rather than running the business 24/7. Take some of the stress off you don't need. Dilute it across the workforce. And the last thing, get your holidays. Schedule your holidays in and make sure you take them. No cancel holiday for anybody. Get time with your family, get away, turn the phone off, turn the email off, go and have a good time. And then when you get back from that holiday, book the next holiday. Use it as a fire break. So, so important.
Well, you sound like a very wise professional and a very wise man. And we thank you so much for those tips of advice for all of our workaholics out there today. And I hope that these words and this message will resonate on your hearts and take them to heart so that you can enjoy for many, many years the gift, the journey that you have been given from God above. Dr. Webb, we're in our final moments of the show. Tell us, where can listeners go for more information about you and your work at your naturopathic clinics?
Sure. Well, they can visit our website, which is at www.hagleywoodhealthcare.co.uk. That's spelled H-A-D-L-E-Y-W-O-O-D healthcare, or one word, .co.uk. And they can have a look there. They can jump onto our Facebook feed and have a look at the posts we put up, and they can look at our blog posts and the various news feeds we have going into there. So the sites should be quite fun to visit, and there should be some good information on there as well.
Fun indeed. And your radio show, can they access it through your website as well?
We haven't got a link from there, but that's the BBC Radio Cornwall. That's only on once a month, so it may not be that easy to tune in from Ohio.
All right, well, that will be my homework assignment. Thank you so much, Dr. Marcus Webb of Hadleywood Healthcare in the UK. Tonight's topic was naturopathy and men's health. It has been a pleasure to have you with us.
It's been great being here. Thanks a lot for having me.
This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. You are welcomed to visit my website at rxintegrativesolutions.com for more information on my personalized wellness consultations. I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and this is by Helen Keller. And I quote, "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart," end quote. Please tune in again next week to listen to Dr. Lena Wen talk with us about her new book entitled When Doctors Don't Listen, How to Avoid Misdiagnoses and Unnecessary Tests, on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.